genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
My next guest is going to bring it a little bit closer to home for most of us. He's an accidental career coach who has helped more than 2,500 people launch new careers, even in the midst of recessions. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Keep that number handy because we have another coupon to give away for a sandwich or free salad at Urbane Cafe, their new Oxnard location. Jeff Edwards, my next guest, is a motivational speaker, author of fiction and nonfiction books. He's interviewed over 10,000 applicants in his career. The interviewing experience has led him to a 20-year career as a career coach and sales trainer, during which time he's helped over 2,500 people launch new careers. His company is called Interskill Media. Jeff is also a nonverbal communication specialist and has written and produced a series of intriguing body language videos. His latest book is titled Launching Your Next Career in a Recession, and it's available on Amazon. Welcome to the show, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, well, we're glad to have you, and you couldn't be more topical with Rahm Emanuel looking for a new job in Chicago and opening as the White House Chief of Staff. Maybe some of my listeners are interested in that, but more likely people here are looking for jobs in Ventura County. So let's just start out. I love the title of your book. It plays on the old Henry Ford theme, if you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. You've sort of taken that and updated it. It says if you think you can't find a job in this environment, that you're right. Tell us, why is that so appropriate for this job environment? Why is having the right mental attitude key to finding a job in a recession?
Well, it really has to do with a person's mind. Finding a job, the mind plays a critical and a key role in finding a job, or especially when you're trying to launch a new career. Sometimes the jobs that we want are just not out there, and sometimes we have to launch a new career. And with unemployment high, you know, some of the jobs that are available, there can be as many as 300 applicants for just one job posting. And if that's not discouraging, I don't know what that is. I mean, it can create a I can't win, you know, attitude. And, you know, whether a person finds a job quickly or, you know, whether it takes many months, it really stems from their belief system. You know, you quoted Henry Ford, if you think you can, you probably will. If you think you can't, you're right. And that's exactly what happens, you know, when somebody's looking for a job. If they settle on there's no way it's going to happen, then it's not going to happen. If their mind is set for, I know this can happen, then it'll happen. Because what happens, Billy, is the mind goes about looking for evidence or facts to support whatever we think or we believe. If we don't think that we're likely to find a job soon, then we start looking for evidence that supports our belief. You know, we'll look and say, aha, unemployment's high, I knew I couldn't find a job. But on the other hand, if we do think that we'll find a new career, then our mind will spark, you know, new ideas that can lead us to new opportunities.
All right. So what you're saying, Jeff, is that it all is based on our belief system. You've got to have a positive belief system. So I'm going to ask you, what's the secret sauce? If I've been out there and I've been unemployed for 6 months, I'm looking for a job, I don't know, as a tax accountant or something like that, the position's not important. But if I'm looking for a job, I've been unemployed for 6 months, I'm starting to get beat down a little bit, people are knocking at my door asking for money. How do you develop and keep a positive belief system in face of all of those things?
Well, the first thing you do is whenever a negative thought hits your mind, you have to stop yourself right then and argue against it. For example, if you say, you know, I have put out 50 resumes, I've got no phone calls and no interviews, you really have to stop yourself right there dead in your tracks and argue against that. So you might say to yourself, you know, there are jobs out there. There are people getting jobs. I'm going to get a job, and there's nothing that's going to stop me from doing that. So we have to argue against negative thinking.
Okay. And so let's say you do that. You say, all right, there are jobs that are out there. I'm going to find a job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't you, after 6 months, also have to be a little bit realistic and evaluate and say, well, wait a minute, what I'm currently doing isn't working. Perhaps I need to try something new.
Well, the first thing you would do at that point is write down on a list of a page on the left-hand side, write down all your transferable skills. You know, what do you like? What are you good at? Whether it's teaching, training, reading, whatever your skill sets are, write those down on a piece of paper. And then on the right-hand side, write down all the different jobs that would apply to those skill sets. For example, if I'm a teacher and I can't find a job as a teacher, you know, my skill sets might allow me to get a job as a trainer, as an instructor, as a teacher in another field, not necessarily with the school system. But there are many jobs out there that we can use skills that we've developed over the years to do something else that we would find just as rewarding because we have those skills and we have passion and talent in that area.
We're talking to Jeff Edwards, everybody. He is the CEO of Interskill Media. He helps people to find new jobs, even in the midst of a recession. And I want to stop you, Jeff, because you're touching on a very important thing, which is transferable skills. However, maybe some of the people listening to the sound of our voice don't know what their transferable skills are. You know, many times we're blind to our own best assets. So how would you develop that list of transferable skills if you really don't know how to begin developing the list?
Well, there's two ways you can do that. You can sit down with your family and friends and ask them very frankly, you know, what would you say my best skills are? And take a realistic approach and really listen to what they tell you. That's the most inexpensive way. The next step would be to go to Google, go to yahoo.com, and search a career coach in your area. And the career coach can be locally. So you could type in Google career coach, Ventura County, or pull up a career coach list, and it can be anybody in the country. Sometimes career coaches are very good, and it's done by telephone, and the career coach might live in Buffalo, New York. What they will be able to do is go through a series of questions to find out what your skill sets are, and they're pros at guiding you down a path that will get you out of the rut of negative thinking. And they can help you put you on a career path that can help you get a job soon. And maybe even open doors of opportunity that you haven't even thought of.
All right. So
coaches are just terrific.
So a career coach is certainly an option. I want to come back and I want to explore that option in a little bit more detail in a minute. But I want to continue on. All right. So the transferable skills, you can find out from your family and friends. You can get a career coach to help you with the transferable skills. What else do you need to sort of take inventory of besides your transferable skills so that you have a more complete picture of the types of jobs that are available to you?
Well, you can look at your experience. You know, you might have done something 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago that was maybe a six-month stint. You can look back and see different types of jobs that you had. And, you know, there are lots. The first thing that happens with people from my experience is they'll start on this path dead set on finding exactly what they've done for the last, say, 5, 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll exhaust that for maybe 18 months, maybe being on unemployment, looking for that job. So what happens is the job they've done, that where they were either laid off or let go, that's their comfort zone. And so they go 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and then as time goes on, they exhaust a lot of resources, and things get worse and worse and worse. So the best thing to do is early on, if you can, start looking at other opportunities, other jobs, talk to other people, network, and just ask around. Talk to career counselors. Talk to people that are in your sphere of influence, and then ask them, you know, what opportunities are there with the kind of work I've done in the past?
We're talking to Jeff Edwards, everybody, author of the book, Launching Your Next Career in a Recession. And Jeff, I wanted to ask you, you know, it's times like this where your job has disappeared. Maybe you've been laid off. Maybe the job's been outsourced to India or someplace else. And a lot of people say now's the time to take stock and look at the things that you're good at, the things that you like doing, and can you build a career from that? Talk to me about how I would take inventory of the things that I like doing and actually craft that into a job, or at least change my thinking about what job to look for.
Well, usually what we spend the most time doing is what we're good at, and we enjoy it because we're good at it. You know, someone may be great at video games, and, you know, they could work for a control center. They could be someone that works in a situation where they have to multitask. You know, we can take an inventory of our skill sets. Maybe we enjoy speaking in front of a group of people. So that skill set, we could be a public speaker. And there are a lot of companies out there. For example, if you love public speaking, there's a website called SpeakerMatch.com.
SpeakerMatch.com, okay.
Yes. And so there are ways for you to develop your speaking abilities. And then on SpeakerMatch, there are companies and organizations that need speakers desperately. Sometimes they'll pay $500 for a 45-minute speech. I saw a listing not long ago that was $5,000 for a 45-minute to an hour speech.
Now that's what I want.
There you go, SpeakerMatch.com. That is a great way for people to, if you've been working with your company, maybe you've been, perhaps you've been a trainer or a spokesman, and you really love talking in front of groups of people, that is a great way to develop that, even if it's on a part-time basis. One time I went to Kansas City and did a speech, and it was an hour long, and I was paid $2,600 plus airfare plus hotel.
Nice.
It took a day, and it was nice.
Very good. All right. Well, Jeff, now that's encouraging. So there's SpeakerMatch.com. That's one way that if you're interested in being a public speaker, you can do that. But give us some stories. Based on your vast experience, give us some stories of people who have successfully transitioned in midstream from one career into another and help make it more human for us so we can better understand this.
Well, I can take example of a bartender who came to me. He had a new child. Newborn, wanted to be a family person, you know, was tired of being at the bar till 2 or 3 in the morning, and he loved working with people, and his skill sets were trained as he would talk to patrons that came into the bar, and he developed a keen ability to develop a relationship with them in seconds. And so he came to me looking for a different career, something that was a daytime job where he's not up late at night, so he could be with his family. So he easily transitioned into a sales position, working for a company that needed salespeople, and they didn't require people with experience in sales. They were looking for individuals with personality and likability. And so he was easily transitioning and successfully transitioned into a position in sales that was just perfectly suited for him because his skill sets were developing relationships quickly in bar. And he did that in his new job.
All right. Oh, I'm glad that you told me he went into sales. I was afraid you were going to tell me he got a career as a counselor or some sort of a psychotherapist. So I'm glad to hear that. Now, tell me.
He could have done that, too.
He could have. So he had options available to him. How about another example of a person making a transition?
Well, you have people that have been in healthcare, or you have been people that have been in construction, the construction industry. You have a lot of people that have been in real estate, people that have been mortgage brokers, and you know, the $100,000 to $200,000 jobs are not out there. And so what they can do is a career can also mean a business of your own. It doesn't necessarily have to mean a job. So you don't want to just limit yourself to just an employment situation unless that's exactly what you want with benefits. But a lot of people today are looking at ways that they can leverage their skills and talents and people they know to work into a new business. Had a man that came to me that you know, worked for a janitorial company. He was in sales, and as it turned out, he had a lot of contacts, and he started his own janitorial business, had people working for him, and within a year, he replaced his income. So there's just lots of opportunities. What a person must do is sit down with a blank piece of paper and start writing all the thoughts that comes through their head as to what they've done, what they like, what their skill sets are, and just brainstorm. And don't stop until the page is full.
All right, we're talking to Jeff Edwards, everybody. We're talking about finding a new job even in this economy. Jeff, we're going to have to break for some commercials here, but when we come back, I want to ask you the question, does unemployment take a bigger toll on men or women in your experience? And then we'll get into social media and the impact that social media can have as you try to transition to a new career. Don't answer that now. Answer it after we come back after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400 or streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. Today's theme is finding a new job. And my first half hour, we had somebody who came on, Brad Bannon, talking about who President Obama should select to replace Rahm Emanuel. Bringing it a little closer to home, in the second half hour, we have Jeff Edwards, and Jeff is talking to us about finding a job, changing careers, even in a recession economy. Before we get back to Jeff, however, we do have the second of our coupons to give away for a free sandwich or a free salad from Urbane Cafe, their new location at 1750 East Gonzales Road. That's the intersection of Rose and Gonzales in Oxnard. And this coupon is good for a free sandwich or a free salad just in time for lunch. Remember that Urbane Cafe was voted the best sandwich in Ventura County by the VC Reporter 3 years in a row. So call in, be the fourth caller at 639-0008, 639-0008, and the coupon for a free sandwich or a free salad is yours. Now, before we went away to the break, Jeff, I was talking about the toll, the effect that being unemployed has on both men and women. And your experience, because you've dealt with over 10,000 interviews, you've helped over 2,500 clients to find new jobs. Does unemployment take a bigger toll on men or women in your experience? Hello, Jeff.
You know, the easy answer is sustained unemployment is devastating to both men and women. But from my experience, the men that I've interviewed, more so than women, and I've interviewed a lot of women, but the men feel like they've let their family down when they can't find a job after many, many months of searching. So it seems to take more of a toll on men than women, although a woman would beg to differ from her own experience. But my advice for both men and women is, first of all, be very selective as to the people that you spend time with. If you have anyone that is negative or seems to feed your negative emotions, you want to avoid that person at all costs. Be very selective of the people that you spend time with, because they can just keep you chained down to that rut of negative thinking instead of finding someone that can be positive and encouraging.
And that goes back to keeping a positive belief system as you're going through the job search looking for a new career. All right, Jeff.
Exactly.
Now, something that is very topical right now, particularly in the job search arena, is this whole concept of social media. What role does social media play in finding a new job?
I recently read a report where human resource managers are going to LinkedIn and Facebook to look for applicants before they post the job online. So it's imperative for everyone to set yourself up a LinkedIn account and a Facebook account. It's very easy. You can go online to YouTube and just Google, set up a LinkedIn account, and then there are many, many videos that will show you how to do it. But the main thing people need to know is when you set up your LinkedIn account, make sure that you include a good photo of yourself, a good professional photo, because people, hiring managers, need to see exactly who you are. And then it's very easy to, if you have a Yahoo email account or Hotmail or Gmail, it's easy to import all of the people that you have ever emailed or received emails from, and you can import all those emails into your LinkedIn account. And then what LinkedIn will do is it'll allow you to send every one of those emails, all of those people that you've had contact with in your network, and send them an invitation to connect with you in your LinkedIn account. Then all those people will get invitations to connect to you, and then perhaps over the course of a week or a month, you may have 50 to 100, 200, 300 connections, and then you can start looking at all the people that are in your network, and you can actually look at the people that they're connected to, and you can find jobs and opportunities by connecting through people. So let's say that you're looking for a position as an instructor or as a teacher, or perhaps as an engineer. You can search through your network of people that are engineers, and you might find someone who is a second-tier person to your direct connection. Well, you wouldn't email that person or send them a message saying, can you get me a job? You would simply ask for their advice. I found you through LinkedIn, through Tom Smith, and I wondered if you could give me some advice as to how I could move into that type of industry or that company. Can you give me advice as to the best approach to take? It's better to ask for advice than directly asking them for help getting a job. And then they'll send you a message back, and they may give you the HR person directly give you an inside track into the company or industry you're looking for. So I don't think that the media has really done a terrific job of explaining the power of social media when it comes to finding a job.
All right. We're talking to Jeff Edwards, everybody, author of the book, Launch Your Next Career in a Recession. And Jeff, you did tell me something in that was really very interesting about hiring managers. Hiring managers are going to LinkedIn and Facebook before even posting a job out there to see who or what is available. Now, that's interesting. And in your conversation, you said post a picture of yourself. And I want to drill down on this a little bit and challenge you, because one of the things as you get to be an older worker is age discrimination. So if you are in your 50s or late 50s or early 60s, what is your thought about posting a good photo of yourself? Do you post a current photo? Do you post a picture of yourself when you were 20 years old? You know, can that photo be used against you in some form of age discrimination?
Well, it can, but I think if you're 50 years old, I think it would be to your detriment if you posted a picture when you were in high school. But I think, you know, a recent photo and make it professional. You know, companies are looking for people with experience, and then with LinkedIn, you're actually able to post your resume. And that's what companies are looking for. They are looking for experience, and they're looking for opportunities. But I can tell you that having no photo or not using LinkedIn at all is more to someone's being unsuccessful than being successful. I mean, there's always companies that will discriminate. That does happen. But if you fail to use LinkedIn, you're really not using the power of the Internet to put you out there. So a recent photo that's professional, you know, that maybe you need a haircut. You know, you wouldn't want to use something where you're at the party and your hair's sticking up or in different directions. You know, use a professional photo, because that can help you get the position you're looking for.
All right, we're talking to Jeff Edwards, everybody. And Jeff, one of the other reasons that I had you on the show is because you are a nonverbal communications expert as well. So let's talk about the role that body language and nonverbal communications play in the job search. What body language or dress for success tips do you have for people going out on interviews?
Well, let's talk about clothing. I would have people that would come in and suits and bring in briefcases for a position that carried none of that attire. Now, if I'm going in to be in a position where I'm going to wear a suit, then a suit would be appropriate. But if I'm going into a position that perhaps a shirt, nice shirt and tie that's pressed, nice slacks, that would be more appropriate than wearing a suit. So you got to be careful that you don't overdress. And then at the same time, you know, for men, the very best color to wear when it comes to a shirt is white. White makes you look more qualified than you really are, as long as your white shirt is pressed, clean, and looks, you know, professional. The tie needs to be not necessarily too conservative, where you have all these stripes. A striped tie on a male that's 40 years and older is going to work against him. But at the same time, you don't want to have a party tie either. Something that looks professional, something that may make you look like you're alive, that you have energy. So clothing is important. For
all
women,
right,
make sure that you don't have your entire jewelry collection on all your fingers. I can't tell you how many women that I interviewed that just had a ring on every finger, had maybe six or eight necklaces. just too much jewelry. So it's, you know, being professional, and then take into consideration what the employees are wearing for the position that you're applying for.
Now, what about shoes, Jeff? What about shoes? Everybody talks about how important shoes are, and shoes are a mirror into one's personality. What do you say about that?
Well, of course, it depends upon the position, you know, that you're applying for, but it's better to err on the side of success than failure. So the advice is to wear a shoe that looks more professional. Here's what's interesting. This happened to me when I was 20 years old, and it was because my father drilled into me how important it was to dress successfully, and when I went on an interview, to wear a suit and tie. At the time, that's what I wore. I went in to apply for a position, and because of my dress, I was offered a different position that paid a lot more money than for the position that I applied for. So shoes definitely speak to a person's success.
All right, great. We're talking, everybody, to Jeff Edwards about body language and the role of that plays in the job interview. Jeff, before I get back to you, big shout-out to Pat in Oxnard. You're the winner of the second coupon for a sandwich at Urbane Cafe. Congratulations to you. And we'll have more coupons to give away tomorrow as well. Let's talk about, while you're in the interview, what are some body language things, and we've only got about a minute left, what are some quick body language things that we can do to show that we're friendly, show that we're open, and we're qualified for the job?
First thing is to smile. You know, not necessarily a grin, but smile when you first meet the person that's interviewing with you. Companies want happy, motivated employees. Keep your chin level at a 90-degree angle. Keep your chin up. What that allows you to do is to speak louder with more confidence. So keep your chin at a 90-degree angle. And then when you meet your interviewer, raise your eyebrows when you say, "Good to meet you," or "Hello," or "My name is." Just raise your eyebrows. That's a signal of recognition. You recognize the power that they have with their position. Make eye contact, and then your voice tone will convey enthusiasm. If you're an older person and you're concerned about age discrimination, your voice tone can project energy, enthusiasm, and that's what really companies are looking for.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Jeff Edwards, everybody. Jeff, we've run out of time. If people want to learn more about you or about your book, Launching Your Next Career in a Recession, where would you direct them?
I would direct them to the website, www.launchyournextcareer.com.
Launchyournextcareer.com. All one word, no underscores or anything else.
Correct.
All right, Jeff. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's been great.